Chapter 10, The Cycle of Violence. Flying a meter above the ground, Palpatine's agile speeder skimmed over the plains below Theed Plateau, leaving long, curving trails in the tall grasses. The day was bright and clear, the warm air abuzz with insects and strewn with pollen. "Exhilarating," Plagueis said from the passenger side bucket seat when Palpatine's foot had eased off the accelerator. "Maybe I'll become a professional racer." The Naboo might expect more of the eldest son of House Palpatine.
"I ignore the expectations of others," Palpatine said without looking at him.
"Was the speeder a gift from your father?" Palpatine glanced at him.
"A bribe, but one I accepted."
"Does he approve of your racing?" Palpatine made a harsh sound.
"My father hasn't ridden with me for years."
"He doesn't know what he's missing."
"It has nothing to do with my talents," Palpatine turned slightly in the driver's seat. "When I was younger, I was responsible for the deaths of two pedestrians. At the time, my father threatened never to allow me to fly, but he eventually relented."
"What made him change his mind?" Palpatine swung forward.
"I wore him down."
"I'm sorry," Plagueis said. "I didn't know." Although, in fact, he did know. With help from 114D, he had learned that Palpatine's troubled past had seen him bounced from one private school to the next, following incidents of petty crime and offenses that would have landed a commoner in a correctional facility. Time and again, his father, who shared with his son a penchant for violence, had used his influence to rescue Palpatine and avoid the specter of family scandals. To Plagueis, however, the youth's transgressions were only further indication of his exceptionality. Here was a youth who had already risen above common morality and had judged himself unique enough to create an individual code of ethics. Palpatine pointed to the distant tree line.
"There are some ancient ruins in there, but that's Gungan territory."
"Have you had any dealings with them?"
"Personally, no. But I've seen the ones that come into Moenia to trade for goods."
"What are your thoughts about them?"
"Aside from the fact that they are long-eared, slimy-tongued primitives?"
"Aside from that, yes." Palpatine shrugged.
"I don't mind them, so long as they keep to their submerged cities and waterways."
"Not get in the way."
"Exactly. Humans deserve to have the upper hand here."
Plagueis could not restrain a smile. "There are many worlds in the galaxy where the matter of who has the upper hand, as it were, is in dispute."
"That's because most beings are afraid to take charge. Think what the Republic Senate might accomplish under the leadership of a strong being."
"I have given thought to that, Palpatine."
"What does the Senate do in response to each and every crisis? It dispatches the Jedi to restore order and moves on without addressing the roots of the problem."
Plagueis found the boy's youthful ignorance entertaining. "The Jedi could rule the Republic if they wished," he said after a moment. "I suppose we should be grateful that the Order is dedicated to peace." Palpatine shook his head.
"I don't view it like that. I think that the Jedi have dedicated themselves to limiting change. They wait for the Senate to tell them when and where to intervene and what to fix, when in fact they could use the Force to impose their will on the entire galaxy if they wanted. I'd have more respect for them if they did."
"Do you grant your father respect when he attempts to impose his will on you?" Palpatine's grip on the steering yoke tightened.
"That's different. The reason I don't respect him is because he's not half as intelligent as he thinks he is. If he could admit to his weaknesses, I could at least pity him."